To sync this podcast to the episode, pause now and hit play right after the previously on. Hey everyone, welcome to the Outlander podcast. This is Matt Roberts, executive producer and writer. I am here solo on this one. So unfortunately, you guys have to just listen to me. I don't have anybody here with me on the first one, but let's try to get through it together. You'll see that we did, in writing this episode, we wanted to do some callbacks to stories in past books, things that we weren't able to do in the past seasons. So this is one of those moments that I'd always wanted to see, and it kind of fit in perfectly with this story. As you guys know, we're doing the Fiery Cross in season 5, and it's a really it's a complex book. There's a lot of amazing moments throughout the book. The challenging part of the book is the first, few hundred pages that happen in one day, and that's what this episode kind of deals with. So we tried to figure out in the writing room how to kind of bring that all together in one episode, and that's what you get here in the Fiery Cross episode. You'll notice that the main title song has changed. We change up every year, and we thought bringing in a choir to just build this kind of a grand sound. But we wanted to keep Rhea's voice. So what we did is we had her trail into the title cards. So it's a way of keeping a little bit of new and a little bit of old, which feels very Outlander. You may have noticed in the opening, that what we call the cold open, Duncan, who plays Murtaugh, we de-aged him to make him look younger, and it's a visual effect, and it looks, well, I mean, it looks great anyway, but it really worked out nice. This was a scene we had talked about in the room to a little bit of to subvert some expectations. You almost wonder what you're coming into in the new season, and we wanted to show Jamie and Roger's connection, where it is, especially coming off of season 4. Are they friendly? Are they adversarial? Where are they? And I think this is one of those moments that it's very difficult to be adversarial when you have a blade to your neck. And I think you probably already know that this is the wedding day. It was one of those things we talked about also in the room on how we could bring the gathering and the wedding and kind of make it all work in one episode. It was a daunting task to try to figure out the story points to make it all work. Hopefully we did. But I love Sam and Richard in this scene. They had such a good time doing it. It's a dull blade, so there was no risk of Richard getting his throat cut. But the fun part was Sam really, really threw his head around and manipulated him in all the different takes, and it was a fun scene for them to shoot, And I think everybody on the crew enjoyed it. So they're coming up. Well, the ring, we wanted to, as a call to the book, he mentions copper and brass, which is mentioned in the book. Anyway, the big house was one of those things. When we walked this property for the first time, I fell in love with it. There's a river and trees and meadows that overlook the Trossachs in Scotland, but it really has the feel of the Blue Ridge Mountains. So when we were walking it, we realized if we put the house in a certain spot, we could shoot almost 360 without any visual effects, without adding anything, and you could just point the camera anywhere, and that really helps production value. And then Gary Steele, who is the production designer, designed this big house, and I remember saying to Gary, it's just the description is the big house. It doesn't have to be big. And then Gary built a big house. It is beautiful. We added into the story that the settlers and the tenants helped build it. Jamie Fraser is a master craftsman, but he's not. He can't do that in the time that he had. So this was a moment to mirror the Roger and Jamie getting ready, then a mother and daughter getting ready for a wedding. Felt like we needed to show that, and there's a little callback to the book of what Claire thought she would see Brianna in, and we kind of went off and gave something old, something new that Brianna could have taught Jamie, and then he remembered being a good father, and so he put it all together for her, and we thought it would be a kind of a lovely moment. As you can see throughout, one of the things that we wanted to do is show the house unfinished through, so you'll see ladders and cloth, drop cloths and sawhorses and just raw materials laying about, because we didn't want the house to be a completed house. The outside they finished first. So I think one of the things we talked about in the writer's room, and I certainly wanted to show this season, was to show intimate small moments between the characters. I'm a very big proponent of small moments. I think when you add them all up, it becomes a big show. But you need these quiet moments of intimacy, showing what people or care about. That's what you show in small moments, what something means to someone. And that's why I love this moment between these two. So as we go through the season, you'll see a lot more of these. I don't know if it's the number that you'll want to see, but there's definitely a lot more than the last season. I like how Sam plays this. He's confident and nervous all at the same time. It's a difficult thing to do. We really wanted to play this moment up, a father seeing his daughter. And it's really kind of a moment where, you know, because he says in the earlier scene he hasn't had her long enough as his daughter, and now he has to give her away. We had to continue the Murtaugh storyline, but the early part of this episode is definitely showing the bond of the family and where the family is at the beginning of this season, and what I felt was very important to have moments of bonding and showing the love of a father and a daughter and a mother and a daughter and even the father-in-law son-in-law bond, whether it be tentative at the moment and builds over the course of the season or does it, you know. I think book readers will know where it goes, and those that haven't read the book we'll have to kind of go on the journey with the characters. We obviously went off book here, and we made a bigger deal of the wedding, and more of a grand wedding. I think for the show, it fits. Certainly with the house, and the size and the scale of the house, we had to kind of scale up the wedding. And then what we added to when we get to it, all the visitors, the gathering. So we put the gathering at Fraser's Ridge rather than Grandfather Mountain. I love this moment when Jamie yells out, some of you will see Spanish moss in the trees. We know that that doesn't exist in the Blue Ridge. But the trees at the time were very bare. And I remember talking to Gary, who wanted to fill the trees with something. And he did. And he thinks it looked lovely. It does look lovely. But we do know sometimes aesthetics win out. As we often say, we're not making a documentary. We filmed quite a bit more than what you see on screen. We filmed almost an entire ceremony from start to finish. And it was just so we didn't miss any of the reactions, any of those, once again, those small moments that show up on screen when you give it enough time. And that's what we always fight with, time. One of the fun things you'll see in the wide shots are the kids playing you know, acting up as kids would do at a wedding. And I think we decided we absolutely have to leave that in. It makes it feel real. Our sound department always loves when we put things next to rivers, flowing rivers. But they did a fantastic job, you know, bringing up the dialogue. You know, there's always a challenge in filming outside, and when we were scouting, you know, we don't usually bring the sound department with us because we would never film anywhere if it was up to them. But they did a fantastic job in bringing up the dialogue and bringing down the river. You almost wonder what would happen if Jamie said, I don't. That changes the story completely. We have Tryon at the wedding and Lord John and Jocasta, and we wanted to have a lot of the characters that everybody would recognize, so we brought them all. So they're at the gathering in the book, so we put them at the wedding. It's one of the most difficult things to do is to show a thought. To film, I always say, you can't film a thought. And that the flashbacks were a way of showing Jamie and Claire remembering their own wedding. And we went back and forth on, do we show it or do we not show it? And, you know, they're thinking about it. So we decided to show it. And then, of course, you know, when they say they repeat their vows to them, you know, that's from the book. So this is kind of where we kind of commingled the gathering and the wedding. So we have tents and games and dancing and a lot of things that we would do at the gathering and you know, food, but we couldn't figure out a way of doing both and logistically and time wise of getting them, you know, the characters all to the gathering and then at the wedding, and then having this location already built, so this seemed like the perfect solution to the challenge. Well, our perfect solution to the challenge. It's choices. We all have to make choices. Tim Downey, love him. He just brings Tryon to life. There's always drinking on these podcasts. It's actually not whiskey today. It's just a cold drink. It's tough to drink, you know, alone on a podcast. If somebody was here, I could probably break out some whiskey. I think we discussed a little bit more bourbon this year because they're in America. But we'll see as the season goes on. The scene is, we're starting to get back into the story of Murtaugh and what Jamie was tasked at the end of season four to hunt down. Basically, Jamie's been putting it off. Of course, he's not going to hunt his godfather, someone he loves and cherishes. So this is where we decided, let's kind of start that story, but we still wanted to show the camaraderie of the families and the gathering. We love the scene. Heretics. Another thing that we were very aware of, at least I was aware of as you watched the seasons, you want to, the question kind of comes up is Brianna and Roger and their love for each other and how much screen time they had of falling in love. And there weren't a lot of moments where you could really see them falling in love and being in love. They just were together, and then all the traumas that happened to them. But I love these little moments with them of these having fun, and you can see why they like each other and why they have the bond they do. And I think that once again, it's very important to the story that we know why they have the connection. So you have to show it. And I think as we go throughout the season, you'll see a lot more of those little moments, the playful moments, where a couple, when we spend time with the couples being playful, being, whether it be romantic or silly. And you have to have that to really show, why these people do the things they do for each other, why they will go to the ends of the earth, why they'll travel through time to save someone. Because, you know, in season four, Roger, it felt like Roger really didn't even know Brianna that well, because they didn't have a ton of time on screen. But these are those moments that I think it's important to start to show and to continue to show. It's always a challenge to get 40, 50 people to dance. But this was really fun. We filmed this over a week. And it's a lot of time, just so you know, for one, a group of scenes in that happen kind of continuously. This scene was in script a little longer. It all kind of ran together. It's a drinking game, showing a lot of our characters that will introduce this season. Some will spend more time with them. Isaiah Morton, we get to see Ferguson Marsali and John Quincy Myers. And Lord John, we needed a scene that collectively kind of got them all together to have fun and to kind of bond the audience with them in a short scene. This is Lauren Lyle, who really has taken to Marsali, and you'll see her over the course of the season really grow into the role and really breathe a lot of life into Marsali. And anyway, we, once again, that scene was a little longer on the page. It just, and we filmed more of it. It just, we ran out of time. There was so much to do in this episode, showing all the new characters and you want to show the wedding and you want to show the gathering. And there's Lizzie. Baby Jam, who working with children. They say children and animals. I would say children are more difficult. Thankfully, the dog, not in this episode, because, of course, young Ian stayed with the Mohawk, but and Rolo stayed with him. But we have to usually cast twins, and because they have limits on how long they can be actually on set. So that's why you hire twins. So one can work while the other one sleep. But as people know, babies, twins bond, and sometimes when they're apart, they don't like it. And so you get crying. Thankfully, young Jemmy cried when he was supposed to, and slept when he was supposed to. Well, on screen he does, not every take. So it's one of those things where there were a lot of letters being passed back and forth in the book, and we have David Barry, who's a fantastic actor, so we decided let's have him here rather than any chance we can get David on screen is, I think, enhances the show. Of course, you remember that Bree was attacked by Bonnet last year, or last season, and she overhears. We wanted to not ruin her wedding completely, so she has to kind of put it, she put it aside, enjoy the moment. She's not sure if she heard it clearly. It's always tough to remind people. You know, you have to remind new viewers that, you know, time travel. They used to have another. Claire had another husband. Brianna was raised by that husband. So these are little kind of callbacks to that, and that's what's kind of different about the show, is that you have to actually say it. You can't have these thoughts, and you know, that's the big difference. The book, you can have internal dialogue, and they can think these things, and you get these long passages that clearly spell out what someone's feeling, and we can't do that on the show. So and this is something that we kind of ended last season on, and it was a surprise, and Joe Costa and Murtaugh, I think someone came up with one of those names, Murcosta, I think that's what it is, and you know, we wanted to kind of hold off for, you know, about 30 minutes on where Murtaugh is, where, you know, we've heard his name, and the first time we see him is obviously here, and, well, actually not. We saw him in the flashback with young Jamie, but the first time in present day. So, again, you know, off of season 4, we have to kind of continue the thread. And it's always a bugaboo when a show will start a thread, a story thread, and they just completely drop it. So we weren't going to do that. So Murtaugh's hiding out in the lean-to that Jamie and Claire built while they were building the original cabin. Just to let you know, Gary Steele hates the lean-to. It's just to a production designer of Gary's skill, it's just a bunch of sticks, and he hates filming in it. But so we tried to set as many scenes there as possible just to bug him. There's Jamie, grandsire, holding the baby. The on cue, I think the baby cries. Yeah, that's perfect. It was kind of funny how that worked out. Sam kind of ad-libbed the first line, and then he worked the written line in, like father, like son. So it was once again, working with kids is super challenging. Babies is super challenging. So you kind of have to almost go with where the baby goes rather than where you want to go. They kind of lead the scene, and I think that was a great example of Sam just kind of going with it. Now, I believe, because many of you already know, we are working on season 6 of Outlander. And our head is in the book, when I wrote this episode, God, it feels like easily a year ago. So I think it was Yesterday by the Beatles was the song he sings, and we are on a budget, and it is a so there are songs that are less expensive. This I remember when we saw the first cuts of this. It was very long in the sense of it was well over an hour. So we had to kind of figure out a way of bringing a lot of this down time wise, and one of the things you sometimes do is montage and showing the gathering and showing the wedding nights and we wanted to show that the grandparents were babysitting. Also needed to show that Marcy is pregnant again, as she so often is. I think Katrina and Sam had a good time playing this. They wanted to be very playful, and we had a debate about where to put baby Jemmy, and in the room, outside the room, in the adjacent room, not outside, just in the next room. As some of you may know, and those of you who don't, Sam's back is obviously not scarred up. I think he has to sit in the chair for 2 to 2.5 hours getting that back. It's a big back piece they put on, and he has to spend quite a bit of time in the chair getting that put on for every time he has his every time we show his back. So it's a definitely commitment. When we're in production meetings, we talk about scenes, any intimate scene, any scene where Sam could have his shirt off. A lot goes into that. It's not just, yeah, an actor taking his shirt off. Whereas Richard taking his shirt off is much easier. He just takes it off. So Sam has to, once again, we have to add 3 hours to Sam's day just to do those scenes. And then the action that's going to take place has to be choreographed because of, tearing and it could really affect the back piece. So, story-wise, we kind of did this in chunks. The first chunk was the wedding and showing the bond of the community, the new Fraser's Ridge community coming together at this kind of wedding festivities, and all the characters that are going to play throughout the season coming together. And now, as Jocasta is going to say, in the cold light of day, this kind of reality sets in. And as we know, the Frasers really, they have a tough time having just an ordinary day in at least in the show. In the books, you have more time to spend doing more ordinary things. Well, we're constrained by the hour, so we had to kind of get to it. Duncan Innes, there's another name you guys will have to, those book readers will know the name. And he was actually at the wedding. I think we cut around it for time. What's going to happen? I mean, that's the question. What's going to happen with Merton Jocasta? I think, we'll play that story out throughout this season. But I wanted to definitely bring Duncan Innes back in. I think there was a lot of guessing and speculation that Murtaugh would just take over his story, and I can tell you right now that Murtaugh has his own story, and your guess is as good as mine where it'll go. Well, that's not true. My guess is probably a little better. Just because I know. So, this is Josiah, and we, once again, the cold light of day, we had to introduce some more characters because they play a bigger part as we go forward in the season. And my first draft of this episode was probably feature length, just to fit everything in. And then you just have to start cutting down and going, okay, what's necessary to tell the story sometimes. But I didn't want to lose some of the intimate moments, certainly in the beginning when Claire and Bree are getting ready for the wedding, and Jamie and Roger, the shaving is important to show where they are. And then, of course, Claire and Jamie, discussing giving away Brianna. This is a fun moment from the book that definitely wanted to play, and it's important to to the story as we go forward. I think Maria is so fantastic as Jocasta. It's funny, there's a line at the end of the scene that's read out of the book, and when it's said, it sounds almost like it doesn't fit the show, but it really the way Richard delivers it, you know, you'll hear it, obviously. You've probably seen the episode already, so I'm not spoiling anything. The cram it up your hole, which it seems so out of character for Roger, but it plays us so well. We had, you know, there's some debate, and it's staying in the show. So I like that Roger stands up to Jocasta. Jocasta's a powerful woman, certainly in the time. She's very powerful. And, you know, Roger is still a man out of time, out of place. He doesn't know his footing. He doesn't know what's right, what's wrong sometimes. And he just stands right up to her. And I love the scene for that. Plays out pretty much the way it does in the book. There was a little ad to, you know, we were asked to, how does she feel about it? And so we kind of added that little beat to, so this is Claire's surgery in the kitchen. So we finished those first. It's what Jamie would have built first. So it's a lot of clapboard and brick. The floor is completely made out of real brick. It is probably a little more grand than the book description. Well, I'm pretty much as, you know, I don't need that disclaimer. It's way more grand than the book description. The other thing is, when you're there, it's just not as big as you think it is. It's those rooms are not big. We do have to make things a little bigger than normal just so we can fit an entire crew in there to film. So there's, you know, there's a camera here with a camera crew, and it's tough to, you know, if you built a normal sized room, you'd never fit everybody in, or what was normal in the period. So since that cold light of day for Jamie, Tryon kind of hinted at it at the wedding. He wasn't there to, it wasn't going to ruin the wedding, but the day after, now he's going to put his thumb on Jamie and say, it's time. I think in the book, the gentleman next to Tryon is named, this is Lieutenant Knox here. In the book, it was Hayes, and it was a relative of Hayes that was hanged from season 4, and people thought it might be confusing, so we just changed his name to Knox. But he kind of plays the same part, you'll see as we go. There are a lot of seemingly, you would think, why change certain things? You know, when things get confusing for people who watch the show, you try to make them, you try to streamline them, because you, once again, you can spend more time with a book. You do spend more time with a book. You spend days and weeks, and then you reread, and for the show, you have to, things, sometimes you have to just, you know, it has to be apparent immediately, and the question of, wait, who is that, and why are they, you know, you don't want the audience to ask those questions. And we do the twofold. We write for the people who have read the book, and then we write for people who have never picked up a book, at one of the books at all. And I think that's also a big challenge, because they have to know the story. They have to not be confused by the story. And we have to give them enough material to follow. And the book readers fill in, you know, can fill in gaps, you know, with their book knowledge. There's a moment, the Blood Oath, which of course probably should have been done in front of Jamie and Joe Costa, in front of the family. Unfortunately, we had production issues and actor availabilities, and we could only do it while we were filming in cabin. And this is the old Jamie and Claire cabin, which is now the Brianna and Roger cabin. Anyway, we couldn't get everybody together, so we had to do it like this. But I think the gist is there, is that he's saying, we're three, this is my son, and he makes the pronouncement. On, wanted to show him doing it. I think this is the moment where Jamie, you know, realizes there's almost no way out, that he has a responsibility to all his tenants and his family, and he did sign his name. They're trying to figure out a way of buying time. They know the revolution's coming. But he can't do anything about it now. This is a big moment. I wanted to find a way of getting Jamie back to his Scottishness. He never really loses it, and Sam, you know, portrays Jamie perfectly. But there are certain elements that, you know, over the past few seasons, because of, you know, Culloden and, you know, kilts and bagpipes and Gaelic being outlawed, we don't see Jamie wearing his kilt, and we wanted to kind of make a moment out of it when he puts it on. And that line, you know, if Tryon wants a Scott, I'll give him his Scott, it's an announcement saying the Scottishness is coming back to Outlander. We're going to bring that back throughout the season, and we're going to show, you're going to see, you know, you're going to see a little bit of Scotland in season five. And I think this kind of moment, this is where we kind of bring the gathering into this episode. So there was the wedding with all the festivities. And then, you know, you kind of have that middle part where it's the what are you going to do moment. Tryon coming down on Jaime. Claire, you know, her line of patience. You know, what is she going to do in the coming episodes to deal with all these new patients? And then, you know, of course, Brianna, what is she going to do knowing that Bonnet's alive? But this is Jaime putting on the plaid, putting on the kilt, going out. And, you know, the title is The Fiery Cross, so I think you probably all saw it coming, that he's going to call everybody together. And there's the in the book, there's this great speech that Jaime gives. We had to kind of parse it down a little bit to fit the show, but and then we asked Bear to really create that Scottish feel to call everybody together, reminiscent of episode 104 when they have the gathering at Leoc. We built two of these crosses, one for this, and then one for later. This was filmed over one night. Once again, difficulties of filming big scenes like this with multiple people, and you got to get what we call coverage. So you have to cover Sam doing the entire speech, but you cover him in the wide angles, and then he has to do the close-ups, and so. But then you have to get all the reactions of all the gatherers, and. So you're always managed by time. You know, how can we get all this in? And then all to add to the challenge, you light a cross on fire and try to have the burning. You know, thankfully we have visual effects continuity that can add fire and kind of make sure the cross is, it looks like it's burning at the right rate. This was a moment that we kind of went back and forth with because we wanted Roger to know the oath. We wanted to show that he's an astute person. And so we needed one oath to go first. And so Roger was listening, and now Jamie's very clear. Roger McKenzie, stand by my hand. I think Jaime knows what's coming. Roger doesn't know what's coming. So, but we're going to show that Roger is an impressive guy. So that was, you know, and Sam did that great. You know, it just gives that little cock of his head. You know, I think Bree doesn't know where this is going. She doesn't know why, you know. This is, you know, this is all new to her. So, and then, of course, once again, this is the whole, you know, a big chunk of the book speech, and we kind of had to parse it throughout this scene to make it kind of work throughout the scene. It's just obviously different the way he does it in the book. Come on, we're not going to leave Fergus out. And then all the men gather. This is where I originally wanted to do the Fraser's Ridge Overlook. I can't actually tell you why we didn't, but this is where the new overlook is. So we just planted the fiery, you know, the cross, the up in this real, it's a real place. It's has a real overlook. We added the Blue Ridge to the background, but the view is quite extensive from this, this kind of a rocky outcropping. I really love this scene between Sam and Duncan. Play it fantastic. I like how it, you don't know what's going to happen at the beginning of the scene, the way they're playing it. It's very almost casual in a way, and then the turn happens and the emotions come out, and it's really a fantastic scene. We went back and forth with this. This is a story, obviously, not in the book. You know, in the book, Murtaugh's dead. So it's like Murtaugh knows that Jamie knows the future, or Claire knows the future, and that a war is coming. But why wouldn't he wait? Why wouldn't he just listen to Jamie? And what he's basically says is the men that are following him, when you have nothing, when you're losing everything now, you can't wait 5 years, you can't wait 6 years, you can't wait, because you know you have to fight for now. This is the callback to the cold open. We wanted to show the vow. We've talked about it throughout the seasons, but we never actually heard the entire vow and what he said to Jamie. And this was a big moment for Jamie. He's saying, I know you stay because of that. And you put yourself in danger. You put everybody in danger. Now, I will say in post, when we were watching this and editing the show, there were a lot of tears in the room. So we knew we were onto something. So, great moment. Sam really knocked it out of the ballpark here. I think it was it's not the traditional big moment, you know, battle, hanging, but emotionally, I think that's as big as most episodes that we've ever done. I think, you know, it's epic emotionally, and I think that's kind of where this season's going. So thanks for joining me. I hope I wasn't too tedious being here all by myself. Please enjoy the rest of the season, and welcome back to Outlander. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.